Welcome to the Faith Lighthouse Church Message of the Week. We hope that you enjoy this teaching. For more information about this message and other resources, visit mylighthouse.church.
Well, today we're concluding our series called The Bible Doesn't Say That. Today I'm going to kind of go through a couple things really quickly, because next week, as you saw in the preview, is Easter Sunday, and I'm excited about what God is going to do next Sunday, Easter Sunday. And so we'll have a new topic, a new discussion next week for Easter. And so today I want to take just a few moments and kind of go through a couple more things, if I could, that the Bible doesn't say. Things that we think the Bible says, but it doesn't. If you haven't been able to be here for the previous 3 weeks, I'm going to recap really quickly. But you can always go on our website, mylighthouse.church, and to get the previous messages. And so so just to recap briefly, a couple of the things that we believe the Bible says that it doesn't. Number one is that God won't give you more than you can handle. God will give you more than you can handle. It's simply just not true. The Bible doesn't say he's never going to give you more than you can handle. God won't give you anything that he can't handle. That's the word of God, that God will be with us to sustain us through those things. We looked at the idea that Christians should be blessed and happy and wonderful. Just because you're a Christ follower, you should never go through difficulties. Everything should be wonderful. That's simply not true. The Bible says that we will go through times of suffering, that we will go through times of hardship. We look at the life of Paul. Paul was a faithful servant of God, and yet he talked about abundance and lack, that the only thing that sustained him was Christ, who gave him strength. And then last week, we looked at the idea that many people believe that if you are going through a hard time, if you're going through a difficulty, that it's because there's some blatant sin in your life. That if you're going through a hard time, that it must be some unrepentant sin that you haven't asked forgiveness of. And we looked at the life of Job, that obviously Job lost everything, so his friends automatically thought, well, Job, you must be living wrong. Your life's not right, so get down to the altar and repent of your sins. But we see that God called Job a righteous man. And so we don't understand why we go through troubles all the time. It could be a corrective action, but sometimes God is teaching us something, or God is going to use what we're experiencing to help somebody else along the way. Just because somebody's going through a hard time or we're going through a hard time does not mean that there's some sin in our lives. So today, I want to highlight just a couple other things real quickly. Things that people believe the Bible says, but it doesn't. All right, are you ready? Here we go. The first one. God wants me to be happy. God wants me to be happy. All right, that doesn't sound, too much from, yeah, God wants me to be happy. Many people believe, unfortunately, that God exists to be our personal genie. That he's just waiting for us to ask him to give us something. He's just sitting up there going, I'm just waiting. What do you want? What do you want? It's just our own personal genie. That is not God. That is not a relationship with God. And it's amazing how, because we have that view of God, that God wants me to be happy and that he just exists to make me happy, to give me what I want, that we can justify our sinful actions because God just wants me to be happy. God just wants me to be happy, so what would make me really happy right now is to have $100,000 in my bank account, because that would make me really happy right now, so I'm just going to embezzle money from my company. But God, you just want me to be happy, right? So we justify our sinful actions. Now again, I'm taking some liberties here and going to the extreme examples, but there are things in our daily lives that we do that we justify, well, God wants me to be happy, so it's okay if I do this. It's okay if I do that. I know what the Bible says, but God, you just want me to be happy. The Bible does not say that God is interested in our happiness. God desires that we are obedient to him, that we trust him and for everything that we have need of. Happiness is an emotion. Happiness is tied to feelings. And often our emotions and feelings are tied to our circumstances, and our emotions can change moment by moment. Happiness is something that we can have one moment and can be gone the next. So we can justify our actions because God just wants me to be happy right now. No, in fact, Romans 8:28, one of my favorite verses, says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose." saying God is going to work things for our good. It doesn't say God is going to do everything to make me happy. God will work things together for my good, but my happiness is tied to emotions and feelings. God is more concerned with our obedience to him. The Bible does not say that God wants us to be happy. It says God wants us to be obedient to him and that he will work things together for our good. Number two, we are all God's children. All right? How many of you have heard that? You've said that maybe. We are all God's children. Now, God has, yes, indeed, created everyone. God has created us, but not everyone belongs to God relationally. Now, track with me on this because you're like, well, Pastor, where are you going with this? All right? Track with me. Only those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior possess the Holy Spirit of God inside of them and can claim God as Father. Romans 8:15 through 16. But you have received the Spirit of what? Adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Galatians 3:26 and 29. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, why is that important? Going all the way back to Genesis and the account of Abraham, God, and we talked about this on Wednesday nights in our life group, and we had a great discussion about it. And so, briefly, God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations and that everyone would be blessed through Abraham. How in the world can everybody be blessed through one man? Through faith. Jesus was a descendant of Abraham, Abraham's line. Now we, because our profession of faith in Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins, now we are adopted into the Father, adopted into the family of God through Jesus. That is how we have a relationship with God. Just because we are created does not automatically mean we have a relationship through God as a father relationship. God promised Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations, and that we could receive the promise of an heir, but that only happens through Jesus. Those who believe Christ as Savior have been baptized into him and have been adopted into the family of God. Number three, how about this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Not in the Bible. All right? But how many parents have used that? Or how many of you, your parents or grandparents, use that on you? Okay, there we go. Now, I'm sure we all appreciate the fact that the person sitting around you took a shower, put on deodorant, put on some clean clothes. We all appreciate that fact today. But we don't find in Scripture where it says cleanliness is next to godliness. We've probably used that as parents because we want our kids to do something, right? Their room is a mess. Or they haven't taken it. If you've got a teenage boy, they forget during their teenage years to take showers. Like, that's just, what? Like, serving in youth ministry for many years and going to youth camp, there'd be boys that would not take baths all week. Boy, what is wrong with you? You stink. Oh, I'm just going to spray some more Axe on. Oh, Axe and BO is awful. Now, combine that with like 15 students in one room, and it's just, go take a bath. Get out. Go. Get out of my presence right now in the name of Jesus, because I'm about to rebuke you because you stink so bad. Get out of this place. So we have used this phrase, this saying, cleanliness is next to godliness, trying to get people to do things for us, trying to get them to go to the more biblical approach to get your kids to do something is, how about looking at Exodus? Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land and that the Lord God is giving you. You see, sometimes we take things that aren't biblical and trying to get our kids to do something, but the more biblical approach to trying to get our kids to do something is, you know what the Word of God says? Honor your father and mother. I am your father, and I'm telling you to do something, so you better honor me and do it now. You're going to pay the consequence note. But taking a biblical approach, I'm not saying just because you quote that verse that automatically your kids are going to, oh, yes, we're going to clean our room and all those things. But the Bible doesn't say cleanliness is next to godliness, but it does say honor your father and mother. How about this next one? When somebody passes away, somebody will say, well, heaven has gained another angel. It may sound good, but it's not biblical. We are humans, and angels are angels. There's a difference between the two. We are different than angels. We are created in God's own image. And this stays true in eternity. We don't turn into an angel when we get into heaven. We are still created in God's image. Now you may be saying, Pastor, what's the harm in saying that? What's the harm in saying, and I get it, that sometimes when somebody passes away, we want to say pleasantries and we want to say something to make them feel good, but we don't need to put things and say things are from the Bible when they're not there. The harm comes when people who don't know what the Word of God says, they hear things like this and they hear it from people who say they're Christians and believers and thus they must know what the Word of God says and take it as truth. But we have to understand there's a difference between humans and angels. Many times we take things that just sound good and we just repeat them without actually examining what Scripture says. We need to be like the believers in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 17, verse 10 and 11, they received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if the things were so. So what they were doing is they were excited. They wanted to hear what Paul was preaching. They wanted to hear it. But they didn't just stop at that. Oh, yeah, sounds good. Amen, Paul, that's right. They examined it with Scripture. Does this line up with the Word of God? Paul was preaching, and they were excited to hear it, but they wanted to make sure what they heard was true. And it's important that we do the same thing. When we hear things, when people say things, we need to line it up with the Word of God. Does the Bible actually say that? And that's been the whole idea behind this series, is looking at things that we commonly say and we take for granted and say, well, the Bible must say that. It sounds true. Or I heard somebody at church say at one point in time. It needs to line up with the Word of God. If not, we are straying away from the Word of God. That's the harm. It's the harm in not staying true to what the Bible actually says. The last one, God helps those who help themselves. God helps those who help themselves. Nope, not there. But we are turning into more of a self-sufficient society. You can watch shows and like where people are living off the grid, like they're the Doomsday Preppers. You ever seen that show before, Doomsday Preppers? Fascinating. I mean, like these people like take old shipping containers and stack them up and just build this huge compound and they live off the land and live off the grid and everything. They want to be self-sufficient. But we are turning into a self-sufficient society that we don't worry or think about any. And that's ultimately what the Doomsday Preppers are doing, is they're not worried about anybody else, that we're barricading ourselves in should the end of the world happen, should the power grid fail, whatever, that we're taking care of ourselves. We are turning to that in a society that all it is about me, my wants, my needs, and not caring about anybody else, not worrying about anybody, looking out for number one. I am the only thing that matters. We are raising a generation of kids that they think the world revolves around them. I have to tell my kids almost daily, the world does not revolve around you. I know you think it does, but it doesn't. And so when they get into the real world where we all live, they get slapped upside the head going, that's not what I thought life was. Welcome to the real world. But we are teaching our kids and we're making this generation to believe that everything should revolve around them. I should only care about myself. However, Scripture says the exact opposite. Following Jesus is living a selfless life. Focusing on God first. Serving His purposes. Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you. This verse may sound familiar to you. This was the foundational verse that we used at the beginning of 2018. And now it's coming full circle as we're about to enter into Easter. Jesus was about serving. Jesus was about giving of Himself. Not thinking about number one. That God only helps those who help them. That's not what His focus was. His focus was to serve. To give of Himself. His desire was to see that God's will be done, not His own. If it was His own will, I don't know that He would have just said, well, he knew God's will was for Him to go to the cross. And He fulfilled God's will for His life. And it's important that we all have that same focus as well, not just on our wants and needs, and God, you just want me to be happy, but God, what can I do to serve you? That is so countercultural to anything that we're being taught today or that our kids are even learning today. It's important that we have the focus that, God, I want to seek you. What do you want from me? How can I serve you? God is the one who will take care of our needs. Not our wants, not our desires, but our daily needs. But God, I want $100,000. God, I want. Yeah, that's all fine. You can want that all you. That's not what I don't need $100,000. I do not need $100,000 today. I don't. Do I want it? Sure, there's a whole lot I could do with $100,000. A lot. There's a lot of missionaries I could support, God, with $100,000. But I don't need it. I don't need it. God will supply my needs if I seek him first. Our relationship with God must be our top priority. There's an article published in Success Magazine, and it asks 3 mistakes that people make when setting their priorities. Number one, they don't think about their priorities. That they don't think about it. That I'm making a priority. We don't think it all the way through. Yeah, this sounds good, so I'm going to do it, but we don't actually think it all the way through. Number two, we make it too complicated. Something that we want to do, that we want it to set up in our life, but we just add too many steps and we just make it way too complicated and we never get around to doing it. And number three, they don't live their priorities. Many people say God is their priority, but they fail to actually live it. I believe that's why the church in America is in the state that it is, because we've said, God, you're our priority. God, we believe that we say that we want to serve you, but we actually don't do it. We don't live up to that priority. Sure, we may do it on Sunday morning and we might go to a life group here or there, but do we actually live it every single day? Have you ever been a part of an audit before? An audit is something that I was unfamiliar when I worked my very first job. I was working downtown Plant City at an office. I started there part-time, and then when I graduated, I started working in the accounting department, and I didn't know what an audit was. I had heard of it, but I didn't know. So basically, this company would come in, he'd sit at this conference table, and we'd print the reports and everything else, and he'd just sit, and he'd comb through all of the paperwork and go through and verify everything. And he was auditing, he was verifying that everything that we did as a company matched up with the reports that we had, that nothing crazy was going on. Or if you've ever been audited by the IRS, as it gets into tax season, that's not a fun thought. But basically verifying the information that you submitted matches up with the paperwork that you have. And so this auditor would come in and verify all the information to make sure everything was good. Now, thankfully, our company, I worked for a great boss and a great manager and all that stuff, that every time the auditor would submit the report to the CEO and to the board, there was never any issues. Actually, it was very complimentary. I got to see the report, and he's like, everything is great. Everything, keep doing what you're doing. But if we were to take an audit of our lives and our priorities, what would the auditor find? As believers, what would the auditor find? That we say, God, we're putting you first. God, that we want to seek your kingdom first. Are we living it out? Does it match with what we say? A priority is something that is important to us. And we all have many priorities. Your family should be a priority. Your wife, your kids should be a priority. But if we say God is a priority, but we're actually to do an audit of our spiritual life, would it match? Or would we have a report come back to say, there's some areas you need to work on? It's important to note that just spending time reading the Bible and praying are a part of that, but it's more than that. That there are a great number of people that know what the Bible says. They can quote scripture back and forth, in and out. Amazing the knowledge that they have. But they never accomplish anything for the kingdom. They may know what the Bible says, but they never do anything with it. It's important that if we say we're truly putting God first, that we do what Jesus did and we serve. That we give of ourselves and say, God, I'm making you a priority. I want to serve you. Jesus knew scripture. Think about it. When the devil tempted him, what did he rebuke the devil with every single time? Scripture. Jesus grew up in the temple. Jesus spent time in God's house. But that's not where he lived. That's not where he always was. He was out ministering to the people. He was serving others. We have to do the same. Instead of doing the things that make us happy or just the things that we want to do, maybe we need to change our priorities and say, God, I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. I want to serve you. I want to go like Jesus did. Jesus showed how we can keep priorities by not thinking about ourselves and our own selfish desires, but how we can serve others. When we seek God, when we seek His kingdom, everything else falls into place. Our daily needs, all of it are met. So what? So what about all this? I think it's important that we examine our priorities, we examine our lives, we do a spiritual audit of ourselves from time to time. That God is not concerned, God's not just going to help those who help themselves, God will take care of those who seek Him. That's what He's concerned about. So across the room, if you would close your eyes, bow your heads, can we take a moment and do a spiritual audit? Can we examine our hearts for just a moment? Can we allow the Holy Spirit to speak? Say, God, I want to make you a priority in my life, and I know I've said it before, and maybe I haven't followed through with it. Or maybe I've bought into some of these things that the Bible doesn't say. I thought that's what the Bible said, but now I know differently. Help me to evaluate. Help me get my priorities back in line. That God, you desire that I serve you, that I put you first, that I seek you. That we can take the example of Jesus and serve as He did. Not concerned about our own self-interest, not concerned about our own desires, but God, that your will would be done. That your will would be done, that we would do what you have called us to do. God, I pray that we become a people, a group of believers that are more concerned about what you would have us do than our own self-interest. That there's a lot of things that we can spend our time on, and there's a lot of activities that we can be a part of. But none of them really matter if they're not your priority. As a church, help us to focus on those, but God, as individuals, from the time that we wake up in the morning to the time we go to bed, that we're focused on you. What are some things that maybe shouldn't be there, that we've been spending too much time on, that aren't a priority? That we're only doing these things to advance ourselves and not advance your kingdom. Help us establish, help us keep those priorities. Holy Spirit, we invite you to our lives to speak, to be quiet and hear your voice. Jesus, help us to learn from your example, to give selflessly, to give as a servant. Keep our priorities just as you did. As we enter into this Easter week, may we find time to reflect and pause of how you gave yourself, of how you laid down your life for each and every one of us. Because it was your own desire, but because you knew it was the Father's. And we know there are things that the Father's going to ask of us that are going to be difficult, that aren't going to be easy, but we're going to do them because you have called us to see your will be done, not our own. All across the room, if you would stand. It truly is amazing to step back and think of what Jesus did, his selfless acts. I'm not saying that any of us have to do exactly what he did, but I know on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, there are some things that maybe we're doing, that we're focusing on ourselves a little bit too much. Say, God, I don't want to focus on myself. I want to focus on you. I want to seek you first. I want to seek your kingdom first. And then everything else will fall into place. We have to be mindful of the Holy Spirit. We have to stop and pause sometimes. And when we hear the Holy Spirit speaking, go, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be quiet for a little while, and I'm going to listen to you. I believe as a church, as a community of believers, God is positioning us to do some amazing things for his kingdom. But they'll only happen if we join together and we seek his kingdom first, that we give of ourselves, that we say, God, you're the priority. I'm going to serve you. Even if that takes away from things that I may enjoy doing, but the priority is to seek you. Father, across the room, I pray for every single person. I thank you that we could join together and worship you today. Continue the work that you're doing in our lives as we grow closer to you, that we would seek you first. That whenever you say go, we would say yes. Without a hesitation, without a momentary thought, go, do, give, serve, pray, we would say yes. That we would be a force of good in our community, a force of love in our community, and those that are surrounded with us, our coworkers and family and friends, that we would be able to speak into them, speak your hope into their lives. That our priorities would be on you to seek your kingdom and your righteousness first. In Jesus' name, everyone says, amen. God's good, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. If you've enjoyed this teaching, would you consider a gift to support the ministry of FLC? Visit mylighthouse.church/give. Faith Lighthouse Church is located at 3409 Paul Buckman Highway in Plant City, Florida. Our weekly worship services are held on Sundays at 11 a.m. We also have various life groups and programs for all ages that meet throughout the week. We'd love for you to be a part of what God is doing in Plant City.